Welcome back. In this lesson, we're designing a classic jungle-style transition from scratch in Ableton Live 12, beginner-friendly, and using only stock devices. And I want you to think of this the right way. A good transition is not just some random FX whoosh. In jungle and drum and bass, the transition is a minor arrangement. It creates expectation, it creates movement, and it sets up impact. By the end, you'll have a clean, reusable two-bar pre-drop transition. Noise riser, tone riser, a breakbeat-style drum fill, a reverse downlifter, and an impact. Then we'll glue it together with the secret sauce, automation and a tiny gap right before the drop. All right, open Ableton Live 12 and load your DNB project. If you're starting fresh, set your tempo somewhere between 165 and 175 BPM. Let's pick 172. Time signature stays 4/4. Now go to Arrangement View and set up an 8-bar loop. Think of it like a little scene. Bars 1 to 4 are before the transition. Bars 5 and 6 are our transition. Bar 7 is the downbeat where the drop hits. Bar 8 can just be part of the drop so you can feel the landing. Here's a workflow move that will save you constantly. Create a group called Transition. Make about 5 tracks and group them. Name them Noise Riser, Tone Riser, Drum Fill, Reverse, and Impact. This grouping matters because later you can automate the entire transition together, like one instrument, without hunting through a million lanes. Cool. Let's start with the classic, White Noise Riser. On the Noise Riser track, make it a MIDI track and drop an operator. Inside operator, set the A oscillator to Noise White. Turn the filter on. For the filter, choose something like LP24. Set the cutoff flow to start, around 200 to 400 Hz. Add a little resonance, like 15 to 25%. That little whistly edge is very jungle friendly. Not too much though, because we don't want it screaming. Now, right after operator, add auto filter. Yes, we're doing a double filter. It's fine. It adds character and gives you more control. Set auto filter to a high pass, HP12. Add some drive, maybe 3 to 6 dB, just to give the noise some grit and presence. Set the cutoff around 200 Hz for now. Then add reverb. Make it fairly large. Size around 60 to 90%, decay 3 to 6 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds, and set the high cut on the reverb somewhere like 6 to 10 kHz, so it stays smooth and doesn't hiss all over your mix. Dry slash wet around 15 to 30%. The goal is air and tail, not washing out the entire track. Now the important part. Automation. Zoom into bars 5 and 6. Over these two bars, automate your filter cutoff so it steadily rises. You can automate the operator filter cutoff, the auto filter cutoff, or both. Beginners. Pick one lane to start. Usually auto filter cutoff is easiest. Start more closed and end near open, like up toward 10 to 16 kHz. Then, in the last half bar, you can slightly increase the reverb dry slash wet so it blooms right before the drop. Teacher note, keep low end discipline. This is noise, not bass. If your riser feels big because it has low end, it's going to fight your kick and sub at the drop. So high pass is your friend. Next up, the pitched riser. This is the part that tells the listener, musically, we're going up. On the tone riser track, make another MIDI track and drop in wave-eatable. Pick basic shapes and start on a saw wave for classic energy. If you want cleaner, use a sine, but saw is easier to hear on smaller speakers. Set your amp envelope so it's not clicky. Attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds. Release around 150 to 300 milliseconds. Now add a saturator after wave-eatable. Use a gentle mode like soft sine or analog clip. Drive maybe 3 to 8 dB, and then pull down output so it doesn't just get louder. We want urgency, not volume jumps. For movement, add echo. Set the time to 1/8 or 1/8 dotted. Feedback 15 to 30%. Dry slash wet 10 to 20. Just a touch. The echo makes the riser feel like it's living in the space, not glued to the speakers. Add an auto filter at the end of the chain and start it a bit closed. Then automate it to open across the two bars. That's your brightness ramp. Now create a MIDI clip that's two bars long in bars 5 and 6. Draw one long note that lasts the whole two bars. The note itself can just be your root note or something that fits your key. To get the rising feeling, we're going to automate pitch inside wave-eatable. Beginner method, automate the oscillator pitch. Start it at minus 12 semitones, and by the end bring it up to 0, or even up to plus 7 if you want it to feel like it's overshooting into the drop. If you want extra tension, you can even end on a tritone-ish vibe, like plus 6 semitones, and then let the drop resolve. Optional but nice. Add a tiny vibrato with an LFO. Rate around 6 to 10 Hz, amount very small. This makes it feel more alive, but don't turn it into a siren unless that's the vibe. Coach note, pick one lead transition element. If your drum fill is going to be crazy, keep this tone riser simpler. If the tone riser is dramatic and melodic, keep the drum fill tight. You don't want five things screaming for attention at once. All right, let's do the jungle drum fill. This is where it starts sounding like actual jungle instead of a generic EDM build. On the drum fill track, grab a breakbeat sample. If you have an amen break, amazing. If not, use any break or drum loop. Drag it into simpler so it becomes a MIDI track. In simpler, switch to slice mode. Set slicing to by transients. Adjust sensitivity until you get roughly 16 to 32 slices. Too few slices and it's boring. Too many and it becomes chaos. Now create a MIDI clip for the last one bar before the drop. That's bar 6. Program a fill pattern. Start simple. Use 1/16 notes. Focus on kick and snare slices so it still feels like a drum pattern, not random chopping. Then, in the last two beats, increase density with extra little slices and stutters. Now add beat repeat after simpler. This is a classic jungle weapon. Set interval to 1 bar or 1/2, grid to 1/16. Set chance around 20 to 40% for subtlety. Or here's a fun move, automate chance to jump to 100% just for the last beat, so it goes into full glitch mode right before the drop. Variation around 10 to 20. If you want a cheeky lift, automate beat repeat pitch on the very last hit up an octave, but keep it tasteful. Then add auto filter after beat repeat. Slowly high pass the fill as you approach the drop, maybe rising up toward 200 to 600 Hz. This is the classic make room for sub move. The drop will feel heavier because you removed weight right before it. Optional. Drum bus on the fill for bite. Drive 5 to 15, and I usually keep boom off on the fill because we're trying to clear low end, not edit. Now let's add the reverse element. The suck down that pulls you into the downbeat. On the reverse track, load a crash sample. In the clip, reverse it. Then place it so it ramps up and ends right at the drop. Add reverb, bigger than normal. Decay 4 to 8 seconds, dry slash wet 20 to 40. If it gets muddy, drop an EQ8 after it and lightly dip around 200 to 500 Hz. Reverse sounds love to pile up low mids, and that's exactly where your punch can disappear. Alternate method, if you want a more custom sound, put reverb on a short sound, freeze and flatten, and reverse the printed tail. But the reversed crash is totally fine for a beginner build. Now, the impact. The drop stamp. This is what tells the listener, this is the moment. On the impact track, we're going to layer three things, a short sub hit, a crash, and a room slam. First, sub hit. Create a MIDI track with operator. Use a sine wave. Set a short decay, around 150 to 300 milliseconds. Tune it to your root note, like F or G. Whatever key you're in, add utility and turn bass mono on. Keep this centered. Second, crash or ride hit. Place it right on the downbeat of bar 7. Third, room slam. Take a short snare hit or tom, and add a small room reverb, size 20 to 35%, decay 0.6 to 1.2 seconds, dry slash wet 10 to 20. This gives you a smack that feels like it's in a space. Impact design tip. Separate thump from smack. Thump is your clean sign. Smack is your mid-range transient. Saturate the smack more if you want, and keep the thump clean. That separation makes impacts feel big without turning into distortion soup. Put a limiter on the impact bus, gently, just catching peaks. Ceiling around minus 0.8 dB. This is safety, not loudness wars. Now we assemble the secret sauce. Automation and the gap. Zoom way in right before bar 7. In the last eighth note or last quarter note before the drop, create a micro gap. That means you cut or heavily dip the drums and bass, or at least the transition elements, so there's a quick moment of pullback. Let the reverb tails and the reverse whoosh carry through that gap. This is one of the biggest loudness illusions in dance music. The drop feels louder without you changing any faders. Next, automate the transition group itself. Put an auto filter on the transition group. Choose either a high pass for clearing out, or a low pass if you want that fear moment telephone vibe. A really effective move is, in the final beat, low pass the whole transition down to like 400 to 800 Hz, then snap it open right at the drop. That contrast is instant drama. Also automate the group volume. Wrap it slightly up over the two bars, like plus 1 to plus 2 dB, then do a hard dip right before the drop, right where the gap happens. Again, you're manufacturing contrast. Extra energy automation. If you want it to feel more pro without adding layers, use utility on the transition group and automate width. Start the build narrower, maybe 0 to 30%. Widen toward the drop, like 70 to 120, then snap back to your normal mix on the downbeat. The width drop right before the downbeat is another loudness illusion, and it feels amazing in headphones. One more optional DJ style move: on your drum group, not the master, add an auto filter set to HP 12. Raise it slightly through the transition and then snap it off at the drop. Super classic. Now let's sanity check the arrangement with a simple template for bars 5 and 6. Bar 5, noise riser and tone riser start. Drums start filtery slightly. Bar 6 first half, drum fill enters, risers intensify. Bar 6 last half, beat repeat stutters and reverse crash ramps hard. Last 8th note, micro gap. Bar 7, impact hits and your drop drums and bass come in at full power. Before you call it done, do a quick mistake check. If the drop feels weak, you might have too much low end in your risers or reverse. High pass anything that isn't kick, sub, or impact. A good starting point is high passing risers around 150 to 300 HC. If the drop feels washed out, your reverb tail is probably still huge at the moment of impact. Automate the reverb dry slash wet down right before bar 7, or shorten decay. If it feels like everything is rising but nothing hits, you're missing contrast. Add the gap, or do a quick filter dip before the drop. If you hear clipping on the impact, gain stage. Use utility to turn down individual layers. Don't rely on the limiter to fix a stacked mess.